Okay. Thank you, everyone, for coming. I'd like to just thank the Kollel for the opportunity to prepare this year. Okay, so the topic, as it says on the title page we're going to discuss today, is the Sugya and Tainus on Daf Chof Tes, where we're going to have a Machlokes Amoraim regarding the burning of the Beit HaMikdash. We're all familiar that we commemorate Tisha B'Av as the day of the Churban Beit HaMikdash, but as we'll soon see, that's going to be a Machlokes Amoraim. Really, it's a machlokes if we were supposed to commemorate the ninth day, or rather the tenth day. Let's just take one step back. The Mishnah previously in Tainus, not in this handout, Mishnah tells us there are five calamities that befell Klal Yisrael on Tisha B'Av, and Tisha B'Av is really a commemoration of all those five. The first thing that the Mishnah lists was that it was decreed, as we know from Parsha Shlach, that when the Meraglim came back and they gave the Lashon Hara, they gave the bad report about Eretz Yisrael, Klal Yisrael, as a whole, accepted that decree. Klal Yisrael cried that night, and it was decreed that they would end up spending the next 40 years in the desert until they enter Eretz Yisrael. And that was the first calamity that Klal Yisrael accepted Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael. The second thing that the Mishnah says happened on Tisha B'Av was the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash. The third thing the Mishnah says was the destruction of the second Beit HaMikdash. The fourth thing the Mishnah says that happened on Tisha B'Av was the city of Beitar, which was an Ir Ve'Ein B'Yisrael, a tremendous city, full of Yidden and Lamedei Torah, where the city was eventually taken over, was captured, and thousands of Yidden were murdered. That was after the Churban already. And the fifth calamity at the Mishnah list that happened on Tisha B'Av was the plowing over of Yerushalayim, that it was totally wiped out and decimated. So now we're up to our Gemara, the Gemara in Daf Chav Tes, where maybe some of you are able to see before. The Gemara here gets into a detail exactly during the Churban of the first Beit HaMikdash, what was the chain of events, how exactly did it occur. So we're not going to read through the whole Gemara, but we'll just basically recap. The Gemara says that the Goyim got into the Beit HaMikdash in the middle of the seventh day of Av. The seventh and eighth day of Av, they kind of, you know, enjoyed walking around and feeling in control of the Beit HaMikdash. However, they didn't actually light it on fire. They didn't, the physical destruction, they didn't break it down until the end of the ninth day, meaning before Shkia, but the latter half of the ninth day of Av, and it continued burning into most of the tenth day. That's what the Gemara says on Daf Chof Tes and Tainus regarding the first Beit HaMikdash. To that, where it's underlined, Rabbi Yochanan comments, Rabbi Yochanan says, "Il molei hayisi v'yisei ador, if I would have been in that generation," again, Rabbi Yochanan here is in Amoy Rosh, he's coming after, way after the destruction given the second Beit HaMikdash. So Rabbi Yochanan is commenting that if I would have been there by the time of the first Churban, like Kavatit El Abasiri, I would have established to commemorate the burning of the Beit HaMikdash on the 10th day of Av. Because really, in truth, that's when the majority of the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. It only started being burnt at the end of the 9th day, but the majority of it was burnt on the 10th day. Rabbanon, we know the Rabbanon, and common, as we know, we commemorate the 9th day of Av, so why do we commemorate the 9th day of Av? Says the Gemara, Chalto the Pronusa Adipa, the beginning of the downfall is the real main thing, so to speak, and therefore the Rabbanon felt it's appropriate to commemorate down the 9th day of Av. So we have a machlokes of when it's an appropriate time to commemorate. Everyone agrees, they're not arguing in the facts of what happened. Everyone agrees that on the first Beit HaMikdash started being burnt at the end of the 9th day, and most of it was burnt on the 10th day. The question is, though, how do we mark the commemoration? Do we mark it, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that we go b'asar roiv, and the majority of it burnt on the 10th day of Av, therefore we should commemorate the 10th day of Av, and according to the Chacham, according to the Rabbanon, we'll go back to the beginning, when the sparks, you know, when the fires first started, and therefore we'll commemorate on Tisha B'Av. So there's numerous...
What door is that?
And that if I would have been then, at the time of the destruction of Beit HaMikdash. This Gemara is specifically discussing the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash. So seemingly Rabbi Yochanan is saying, if I would have been then, at the time of that generation of... after the first Beit HaMikdash, I would have been part of the Sanhedrin or whatever, you know, at that time, the body of Chachamim who established for the Klai Yisrael to fast, I would have said everyone should fast on the 10th day of Av. I would have not have told everybody to fast on the 9th day of Av. Because between that Golus, between the first and second Beit HaMikdash, they commemorated Tisha B'Av on Tisha B'Av because of this Gemara. Like the Rabbanan said, the beginning of the Peronius is better. So there's numerous questions in the question to deal with in this Gemara. I want to like to focus on two main points for today's shir. The first question is, what's Rabbi Yochanan really saying? Like we said before, Rabbi Yochanan was an Amora. So he lived, let's say, you know, approximately 250 years after the Churban of the second Beit HaMikdash. So we're dealing with roughly 600-700 years after the first Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. Rabbi Yochanan gets up and says, well, if I would have been there, this is what I would have done. It's Monday morning quarterbacking. What's he accomplishing? What's he trying to be Kaveh? I would have been Kaveh. He lived after the second Churban already. Everyone agrees, as the Gemara continues, that the second Churban happened on Tisha B'Av. There wasn't this two-day situation where it started on 9th Av and continued on 10th Av. And the Chayra, we're only the main commemoration, so to speak, of Tisha B'Av nowadays is the fact that we're commemorating still the second Beis HaMikdash being destroyed. Lest you tell me that Rabbi Yochanan meant that he would have been Kaveh then on the 10th day of Av, but he would agree that nowadays we should only do the 9th day of Av, meaning you'll tell me maybe Rabbi Yochanan would agree, of course, after the second Beis HaMikdash we would have left it as Tisha B'Av. He only meant that short time period between the first and second Beis HaMikdash he would have done 10th, and then he would have agreed now we should do 9th. I have a right not like that, because the Gemara Megillah on Daf Hey, the Gemara's interesting discussion that Rebbe wanted to see Ma'akir Tisha B'Av, and the Gemara discussed what that means, so the Gemara comes out, Maskar of the Gemara was that Rebbe only meant when Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, he would have wanted to hold it. He shouldn't commemorate it on Sunday. He should, abolish it for that altogether that year. But in the Havamina of the Gemara, that the Gemara understood that Rebbe really wanted to abolish Tisha B'Av in Gansin all the way. Tysus there explained what was Rebbe thinking. Tysus has a kasha, but the answer Tysus says that Rebbe was a Tana, but he would have agreed here to Rabbi Yochanan, who holds that the Iker Beis HaMikdash was burnt on the 10th, and therefore Rebbe wants to be Kaveh L'Doyrei, like Rabbi Yochanan, later on in the Gemara, that we should always commemorate the 10th day. So the question begs, why is the Iker of the Churban Bayis Rishon? According to Rabbi Yochanan, it seems to be that he held the Iker commemoration for Doyrei Doyris should be on Asiri B'Av and not on Tisha B'Av, and seems the question we're asking is that why? If so many other things happen on Tisha B'Av, including the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, so L'Chayo, we're in the Golas of the second Beis HaMikdash, so Rabbi Yochanan should hold, even B'Yameinu, we should only commemorate the 9th day of Av. Why is Rabbi Yochanan saying, I would have been there, I would have done 10th day of Av, and I would have continued only commemorating 10th day of Av, not the 9th day of Av. Doesn't seem like that. From Pax the Gemara, in the next Gemara. At least a majority was the 9th. I don't have the exact instruction, but that doesn't seem to be in discussion when it comes to second Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so Baruch is saying that maybe the whole Churban and Bayis Rishon was more severe. Okay, stay tuned. Yeah.
The Gemara doesn't say specifically, it just says that the reason we know that the Bayis Sheni is not because the Dalton is full of all the Bayis Rishon, that they have to say that it happened, but it doesn't tell you any details about
what right, the details are sketchy, but it's seeming that since they had all the other calamities, the Meraglim, Beitar, Yerushalayim was plowed over, so we target that day. But the Gemara doesn't have too much discussion. It's seemingly the only discussion from the Pesukim the Gemara is having is only about Bayis Rishon. So it's seemingly, I can't say it's rock solid, but it seems that everyone agrees the second Beis HaMikdash was exclusively on Tisha B'Av, or at least the majority of everyone agrees it was on Tisha B'Av, and therefore we should only really commemorate Tisha B'Av nowadays. I mean, what's Rabbi Yochanan saying? We should commemorate the 10th day of Av L'Chaira, even Rabbi Yochanan should be Maida, that the 10th day was only until the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. That's question one, and we're going to put that on hold now for a little while. The second question, which I want to focus on more right now, is based on the Gemara Baba Kama. The Gemara Baba Kama, in the second paragraph, when discussing the various mzikah, the various damages that a person's chayav for, so the Gemara introduces us to Eish, fire. As you know, if someone lights something on fire, he'll be responsible to pay. Now, there's a fascinating machloikis in the Gemara in Baba Kama between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. The names here are very important. Again, our Gemara in Tainus, the first Gemara, we said it was Rabbi Yochanan who was the one who held that we should commemorate Tisha B'Av on Asiri on the 10th day of Av, because that was the majority of the Beis HaMikdash was burnt. The Gemara Baba Kama, again, discussing the Nezikin and the damages of fires, has a machloikis of Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. How do we view fire? Do we view fire as the person himself is causing the damage? That's Rabbi Yochanan, and that's called Ishav Mishum Chitov. Your fire is like your arrows. It's like the person is actually going ahead and spreading the fire. Or Reish Lakish says Ishav Mishum Emoinai, the damage of fire is like your property damaging, like your ox. The same way if someone damages, he's chayav to pay for it. So too, if someone fire damages, it's like his ox paying. So Rabbi Yochanan says it's like your arrows, it's like your chitov. It's you yourself carrying out the action. And Rish Lakish says it's like your moment, it's like your animal carrying out the action. Who cares? At the end of the day, everyone agrees you're chayav to pay. What's an afkamina? The Gemara later on, Baba Kama says an afkamina is how much you have to pay. Meaning anytime someone's ox damages, the only category of tashlumen you have to pay is nezek. That's regular damage. When a person himself causes damage, there's nezek, tsar, ripui, sheves, boishes, all those categories of damages that a person who causes damage has to pay. So the machlokes, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, is when a person causes damage through fire, what category are we going to place it in? Is it like his hands are doing the damage, or is it like an animal doing the damage? The nafkamin is, and when it comes to tashlumin, how much you have to pay? Do we say just pay for the actual damage, or we have to pay for the stress, for the medical bills, etc., all the other categories of damage? Again, Rabbi Eichon says that your fire is isha mishum chitzav. So pashas, before we see the Rishonim, the way you can understand that why Rabbi Eichon holds the fire is like your arrows, is because you put all the force into the fire, and it's like you're continuing, like your arrow, you're pushing the arrow forth, although it happens to be this wind, right? But Rabbi Eichon holds, by you starting the fire and not properly adhering to fire safety rules, you're like continuously fanning the fire, and you're saying, if you be a daim, are continuously pushing the fire. Shlokas L'chayr just holds that, since it's also another factor here, i.e. the wind is involved in spraying the fire, it's not only in my control, the wind also is a major player in the spraying of the fire. Therefore, he holds it's like mammon. So that's the machlokes in Baba Kama. Comes along with Muki Yosef, which is on the second page of the sheet, at number 2. Muki Yosef has a very interesting question. Muki Yosef asks, if we understand Rabbi Yechon the pashtus in a simple fact like we just said, that when you light a fire, it's as if you're continuously pushing the fire until it goes out, ask the Muki Yosef, how could someone light candles Erev Shabbos? We all know, we light candles before Shabbos starts. You have to light before Shkia. But ask the Muki Yosef, if you think in Lomdus, how are we going to understand, according to Rabbi Yechon, what's the heter of light Shabbos candles? Because that's if when you light a fire, it's as if you're continuously pumping it, so to speak. You're continuously pushing it. So if I light candles even before Shkia, before sunset on Shabbos, before on Friday night, but if it's going on Shabbos, we can still be misyaches, we can still put back you into that fire, and so to speak, you're continuing the fire on Shabbos. That's forbidden. That's going to be us on Shabbos. So ask the Muki Yosef, how do we understand the lumbus? We all know it's mutter, but how do we understand, according to Rabbi Yechanan, how can it be that you can light a fire before Shabbos and let it continue on to Shabbos? It says in the Muki Yosef, we have to just tweak a little bit, we have to understand what Rabbi Yechanan is saying. When Rabbi Yechanan says, Isha Mishum Chitzov, and you're chayiv as if you shot the arrow, says in the Muki Yosef, you have to understand that when you light the fire, Chazal, the halachic view on that is that we see everything happening already. We see into the future, so to speak. We see now everything this fire has the capabilities of carrying out. So although you lit the fire in your backyard on Tuesday afternoon, and 12 hours later it's spread into your neighbor's backyard, you're responsible, because as if when you lit the fire and you left it in such a stage, that as if you spread it already in the beginning. It's not that we see you continuously fanning the fire every second and keeping going, but Chazal view a fire, and when you lit it, everything kicks into place right away. You bring the riots and stuff. What's this riot? There's a lot of proofs. One thing we'll speak out is that, let's say someone lights a fire in his backyard, lights a barbecue, or whatever, he lights a campfire in his backyard, and then Chas V'Shalom has a heart attack and passes away. So he's dead, right? Dead men tell no tales. But the fire is still spreading, and the fire goes to his neighbor's backyard. So, if you hold, like the first way we explained, Pashas Rabbi Yechon, is that you're continuously fanning the fire, a dead man can't continuously fan the fire. He's dead. But according to Muki Yosef, the way he explains is that of course you're chayav to pay your estate. Whatever the Yarshim, a chayav to pay for the damage incurred, because when you lit the fire, you were alive and well, and we view halachically that everything that happened later on as if it happened from the first moment. Now, of course, if no damage ever happened, if you prevent the damage from happening, you're not chayav to pay, because it ain't broke till it's broke. So if nothing got burnt, you're not chayav to pay anything. But halachically, if something gets broken, even later on, if something gets damaged later on, says in Muki Yosef, the way Rabbi Yechon understands that we see it, the shas nice, the shas ignition. When the fire was lit, we see everything playing out already. Therefore, says in Muki Yosef, when it comes to Shabbos candles, we understand the same thing. When you light the candles before Shabbos, we don't view it as if you're continuously fanning the fire the whole Shabbos. We view it as everything is already set in place. So Yosef, you miss all lockers on your Shabbos, and everything's great. Okay? Great Gemara, great Muki Yosef, everything's great. Comes along to Avnei Nezer. Avnezer is the Sakhat Shavar Rebbe, the son-in-law of the Heilige Kotzker, and asks Avnezer a bomb kasha. He says, one second. Who's the man of the Yom over here in Baba Kama of Isha Mishum Chitzov? And the way we just explained the Muki Yosef holds that he sees everything happening from the time of the ignition of the fire, that's Rabbi Yochanan. So how could Rabbi Yochanan in kindness suggest that we should commemorate Tishvav on the 10th day of Av? Rabbi Yochanan views fire as everything happening like that. You see it all from the beginning. So Rabbi Yochanan agrees that Beis HaMikdash started being burnt on the 9th day of Av. So if he understands halachically that fire, what we view fire in halachic viewpoint, you know, in halachic glasses, we view fire that everything happens right away. So Rabbi Yechanan sees the Beis HaMikdash being destroyed already right now on the 9th day of Av. Why is Rabbi Yechanan saying, well, if I would have been there, we would have commemorated Tisha B'Av on the 10th day of Av because the majority of Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Granted, the majority of Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. But Rabbi Yechanan views fire in halachic sense, and we see everything happening the first second it was lit. So how can he say because the majority got lit? Why we can't go out the majority? Halachically, we already was completely consumed. So Rabbi Yechon should agree to the Chachamim that we should commemorate Tisha B'Av on the ninth day of Av. This is a kasha that's brought. It's brought most often the name of Avin Ezer. I saw some attributed to others, but it's often recorded in the name of Avin Ezer. It's not in Avin Ezer's form, but the Talmid Avin Ezer bring it down. So that's the question. Again, the first question we asked on the Gemara was, what do we care? Why is the Beis Hamikdash saying that we should commemorate 10th day of Av? The Chayyur, that was only the first Beis Hamikdash. The second Beis Hamikdash was seemingly complete on Tisha B'Av. So we should, nowadays we're living post-second Beis Hamikdash destruction. We should commemorate only Tisha B'Av. That was question number one, and we still don't get back to that later. Question number two now is based on the Gemara Baba Kama, based on the Muki Yosef, how he understands how Rabbi Yochanan, the heritage, how Rabbi Yochanan sees fire, Rabbi Yochanan should agree that we should commemorate Tisha B'Av on Tisha B'Av and not on the 10th day of Av. Those are the two questions. So for the answer, we're going to work again with the second question first. So, Havdel Gubin Bengis, Gatzal, who was the head of the Eda Charedis in Eretz Yisrael in the mid-1900s, tremendous gain. A lot of interesting stories about him. He used to finish Shas. He made once a whole theme on Shas. It was a 5-minute theme, he called it. All the 5 minutes he had waiting a line, waiting on that, he, you know, after a couple of years, he made a big theme. He was a tremendous gain, a tremendous master. He has a lot of sperm. So in a sefer called the Slagos Ruvain, it's quoted over here on the page number 3. So he wants to suggest the following answer. He suggests that the Muki Yosef's whole logic that we see everything happening right away is only when applied by a fire that was lit by a human being. A person does not have the capabilities of an on and off switch to the fire. So therefore, Chazal deheret, Chazal see, that the second you light the fire, everything happens, everything unravels right away, and you're chayiv from the time you lit the fire. However, by the Kutcher Brichu, by Hashem, by the Master of the Universe, he has the ability to stop, he has an on and off switch, he can turn off the fire at any time. Even though Rabbi Yochanan sees in the Zikin, he sees by human beings fires, he says everything happened from the beginning, when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says of Zal Gubin Bengis, we can't apply the same principle, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's unlimited in his capabilities. So the fact that he's continuously fanning the fire, so there Rabbi Yochanan comes along and says, that here I'll agree that we should look at the fire up till the end, I shouldn't just end it at the beginning of the fire, so to speak, and therefore, Rabbi Yochanan in Tainus comes along and says that we'll commemorate the burning of the Beis Hamikdash on the 10th day of Av. So again, he's making a distinction between a human being starting a fire, where you have the Ruki Yosef, that's the Gemara Baba Kama, and there Rabbi Yochanan deheres fire, he understands fire as it happens, everything happens in the beginning, and when HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, so to speak, although it's true, the Goyim were the ones who started the fire, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the one who was allowing it, right? The Rav quote on Shabbat, the Medrash said it was ground flour being ground, so when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is responsible for the fire, so to speak, that's by the Chum Beis Hamikdash. So there, says Zal Gubin Bengis, we don't apply this principle, and therefore even Rabbi Yechon would agree, go bust with the majority. That's a debatable point. We'll get to that point in a minute. That's debatable. What's the Nakuda? Okay, hold on. That's debatable. Yeah? Right. So although the Goyim started the fire, but we know that they didn't really have sleep on that. All the Joshim, the Rav spoke about on Shabbat, the drop that was ground flour they ground, meaning Hashem had already decreed that it's going to be destroyed, and those Rishayim were the Shlichim, so to speak, they were the Hechatim, so to carry out the fire. But we view it as a heavenly fire, so to speak. Okay. That's the Reuven Bengis' shot. Rav Pesach Frank, who was co-current at the same time with Reuven Bengis, Reuven Bengis was the chief rabbi of the Vedat, of the Eda Charedis, and Rav Pesach Frank was the chief rabbi from the Rabbanut of Yerushalayim at the same time. So he's not addressing the Zal Gubin Bengis per se directly, but he has another question which really will knock out this terrace of Rav Bengis. He says, we have another Gemara Menachas. The Gemara Menachas, which again our key player over there is going to be Rav Yechanan, it's not on the papers here, I couldn't get a copy of it. But the Gemara Menachas discusses the following halacha. We know that a Korban Mincha that's born in the Beis HaMikdash, the Kahanim get to partake in the Mincha. When do they get to partake in the mincha? The halacha is, after the Kohanim do a kemitah, do that interesting fistful from the carbon, and it's brought properly on the mizbeach, then the Kohanim are able to partake in the rest of the mincha. Rabbi Yechon over there says, Machlokes Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Chanina and that Gemara, how much of the kemitah has to be burnt on the mizbeach? Rabbi Chanina holds, once the fire starts, once the Kohanim start burning it, then you're allowed to eat, the Kohanim already allowed to eat their mincha. However, Rabbi Yechon holds that the majority of the mincha has to be burnt in order for the Kohanim to be permissible for them to eat the rest of the Korban mincha. So ask the Har Tzvi, ask the Tzvi Pesach Frank, I don't understand. based on the Muki Yosef, based on what we said before in Baba Kam, Rabbi Yochanan Shita again is, when the fire starts, game over. So how can, why does Rabbi Yochanan say that the rive of the Kamitza has to be burned, that rive of that thistle must be burned before the Kanan are able to partake in the Mincha? Rabbi Yochanan Lishita again should hold that once the fire starts, you see everything unraveling already, the Kamitza is already burnt from the beginning, and he should allow the Kanan to eat it, just like Rabbi Chanina held, the second that the fire started hitting that flour. That's a few Pesach Shiloh. And he gets into this a long discussion about it. So Tzvi Pesach suggests, and that's similar to what I photocopied over here, number four, that the Eretz Tzvi, recording from Tzvi Pesach, thanks to the Har Tzvi, but the Tshuva over here is the Eretz Tzvi, which was a Talmud of the Avnei Nezer, that's of Ayat Tzvi Frumer, who became the Rosh Yeshiva first in Sochachov after Avnei Nezer was Nifter, when the Shemesh Shmuel, Avnei Nezer's son, became the Rebbe. So first they appointed him as the Rosh Yeshiva. Later on, after Meir Shapiro was Nifter and Yeshiva Chacham Lublin, he became the next Rosh Yeshiva until the war in Yeshiva Chacham Lublin. A tremendous Goyim from Hasidus Shastak, big time of Avnei Nezer. So he's the one who quotes from Avnei Nezer this territory, and Tzvi Pesach really says the same idea in his Tshuva. Now we have to understand Rabbi Yochanan differently. We have to understand there's two ways to look at everything, of course. There's the person carrying out the action, and there's the action being carried out. There's the Koyal Hamaisa, and there's the Nifal Hamaisa. It says the Avnei Nezer, and it says the Tzvi Pesach Frank, the Muki Yosef, who explains Rabbi Yochanan, that the second the fire is started, we see everything unraveling already, that's only vis-a-vis the person who is lighting the fire. The Adam that's doing the Maisa, we can describe to him all the damage that occurs from the moment he lights the fire. However, it's impossible to say that the item is actually burnt until it's burnt. Right? You can't say that the thing is not here anymore until it's physically not the oilam anymore, until it's physically burnt. So there's a chilek between the poilam ice of the person who is doing the action and the nifalam ice of the action actually being carried out to its full fruition. So when the Muki Isa says that we see the fire, everything unraveling the first second, says these goyim, says the Avnei Nezer, that's the gabi vis-a-vis the person. His chiyuvim, his obligations, the gabi ilu hilchos nezikin, or other halachas, that, or let's say the Muki Isa applies to hilchos Shabbos, that all, the gabi the person, he's complete. His ma'isa is done right away. The gabi the pu'ulasa ma'isa, how are things are carried out, so it ain't over till it's over, like we said. So until the kamitza is mamash burnt, the pasuk says the kamitza has to be burnt, that's the drush of the coming off, so until the kamitza is burnt, it's not burnt. The Beis HaMikdash, Zot HaAvenezer, what are we commemorating? Zot HaAvenezer and the Tzvi Pesach Leim Adir, we're commemorating the fact that the Beis HaMikdash is not here anymore. When did that happen, says Rabbi Yochanan? At the end of the day, that happened on the 10th. So therefore, says Rabbi Yochanan, by Menachos, there we have to have the Kamitza burnt, or by the Beis HaMikdash being destroyed, it's not here anymore, that's all later on, although vis-a-vis the person, we view everything unraveling right away, but we're going to make a chug between the Nif'al and the Poyel. That's another possible shot. And I was speaking this out yesterday by the Shabbos table, so my wife brought me to another Teretz, and really she was mechavin to a big chav. So the Sefer Brechas HaMa'ayin says another Rabbi Yechon Shitosei. We're all familiar with the Gemara in Brachis, Afilu Cherev Chada Munachas Al Tavorech Al Tisyayish. Even when a sword is on a person's neck, a person can't give up, meaning it's not over until it's over. Who says that, Memra? That's Rabbi Yechonon. Furthermore, Rabbi Yechon says in Rosh Hashanah, what does Rabbi Yechon say in Rosh Hashanah? That the Gemara there says, G'dayla tshuva shemekaras k'dar dina sh'olim. Tshuva always works, it can rip up even the most evil decree. Who says that? Rabbi Yechonon. Rabbi Yechonon Shita always is that we must go to the end last second before we can call it the game over. So says Rabbi Yechonon, fine. Says Rabbi Yechonon Samai in this shot, fine. Buy damages. You have all your lumber shirk hakiras and how you understand how the fire works, like heat stuff, like money, we see the damage happening right away, you're hired right away, and you can answer the Muki Yosef's kasha that on Shabbos it's mutter like before Shabbos because the Maisa is all from the first bang, everything's played out. But when it comes to destruction, when it comes to calamities, when it comes to mourning, so afilu cherev chadam anachas ha-tavorech, Rabbi Yechon Shita always is, you cannot give up until it's over. So Klai Yisrael could have done tshuva the morning of Asiri Ba'av. Klai Yisrael, if they would have been able to, at that point during the forum, if they would have got up and said, we're doing tshuva right now, of course, the fire would have turned off, everything would have stopped, and Shalom Yisrael, who could have continued living b'shalom and Yerushalayim with the Beis HaMikdash. Klai Yisrael wasn't zeich at that point to do tshuva, but I don't see it destroyed until the end of the 10th day. Therefore, we have to commemorate the destruction of Beis HaMikdash on 10th day of Av. So quickly recap, so far we said three terutim to explain Shita Rabbi Yechon. The first thing he said was from Zag Ruben Bengis. He was machalik between when a person does a maisa or when Hashem does a maisa. When a person does a maisa, there we view it right away. Everything is ending. Like Muki Yosef said, the first second, it's all done. And therefore, Yechayiv and Matenka and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we view it as a continuous action every second. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu always has the ability to turn it off. We had a question on that from Gemara Menachos, which we see even within a person's burning of Yechon seems to hold that you have to go to the end. We explained that with the Avenez and the Har Tzvi, that the Vard over there is we make a code to the Poyal and the Nifal. And the last Har Tzvi we just said now, from the Brechas HaMa'ayin, is that Rabbi Yechon Shita always is that Afil Chav Chadam Nachas Tzavarech and Shuva always works till the last second, and therefore Rabbi Yechon held that the destruction has to be commemorated on the 10th day of Av. Okay, let's change channels a little bit for a minute. Let's go to the Chacham. So the Ma'aseh the Chacham holds, like we all know, that's how we fear Zuch, that we commemorate Tisha B'Av on Tisha B'Av. We commemorate the Shachar Beis Hamikdash on the 9th day of Av. So, the Tisha Chaim on the next page, number 5, in the booklet, which of Chaim Freelander, the Mashkiach from Ponovich, he explains the Machloikis of Yechanan and the Chacham in Tainus as follows. He says, what's the main Nekudo, what's the main aspect of the destruction that we're mourning? That, he says, is the key, that's the key to the Machloikis of Yechanan and Chacham. Are we commemorating the fact that the Beis Hamikdash is no longer here, physically it's totally gone, that's like Rabbi Yechanan, that didn't happen until Asiri Ba'av, or says Rabbi Chaim Freelander, the Nekudah is the destruction. But Rabbanan Tzavim, he says, Shascholah Tzreifah Tzabayas, Yishtiba Adifa Lekvayas Alpiyas Atainas. The Rabbanan holds at the beginning of when the fire started, that is the reason, that is the main crux of our Velus, and that's the reason why we commemorate on the 9th day of Av. I'll explain that more in a second, but he explains with this, he just says, that's why we say only Nachem by Mincha. What are we saying in Nachem? We're asking Hashem for, now we see this, the Yishlaim is destroyed, but as soon as it's destroyed, bring us comfort, bring us the Nechama. So, it happens to be that some Sfarim have the meaning to say Nachem the whole day. They say by Shachas also. But the meaning of Ashkenaz, they say only by Mincha. Why? Dr. Chaim Freelander, because since the Iker, since Ikka Tzad, like Rechayim Freelander, is the Haskolah Tzatzreifah, and once that happens, they're already, that's the Rabbanan Zeher, that's the Rabbanan Tzor, the Ikka Korban, the beginning of the Tzreifah is Ikka Korban. Therefore, he says, once that happened, that's in the afternoon, now we can ask for the Nechama. Once Ikka Korban passed, so to speak, like Rechayim Freelander, now it's appropriate to beseech Hashem for the Nechama, and that's why he explains why we only say Nachem by Mincha. Let's go back for a minute. What does he mean? Why is it that Iker of the Tsar is the beginning of the burning? The fire of Yechon is a good sign of. The building wasn't down yet. The building was still standing until the end of the 10th day of Av. So why do we deher, why do we view that the Iker Tsar is from the Haskol of the burning? There we have in number 6, the Chassam Sefer in Shuvit. The Chassam Sefer tells to a Gemara which starts in the Pasuk. The Pasuk in Yecheskel says, the Pasuk is describing the Chorbanos, says Uvoba Pritzim Vichalua. The Pritzim, those people who are breaching the walls, they came into the Beis Hamikdash and they profaned it. Zot Chassam Sefer from the actually Gemara, but he's applying it over here. That the Goyim made Chilul, they profaned the Beis Hamikdash. But the second they started their Ma'aseh of destruction, the Chilul already happened, and the rest of the building that was burnt, it was just now a building of sticks and stones. The Kedusha left right away. The Ma'aseh Chulim, the Me'ilah, so to speak, on the building happened right away. That's gone to that. The second the fire started, all the Kedusha abandons the building. Now it's just a nice building, a beautiful building of stones, but it doesn't have the Din Beis Hamikdash anymore. Therefore, the Rabbanan say, the second the fire started, that's when the Ma'aseh Chulin, that's when the building became profane, and now that's the Iker Tzad, the fact of the Kedusha, like Baruch said before, the Shechina left at that time. So once the Shechina leaves, that's the Iker Tzad for Klai Yisrael, the fact that the Shechina is no longer with us, and that's why the Rabbanan holds that we commemorate Tisha B'Av on Tisha B'Av because that's when the Shechina left, because the beginning of the burning was when the Beis Hamikdash became Chulin. That's the Chassam Sefer and Shuvit, which really helps complement the Tzitzei Chaim. Here comes the Gishmak of fancy footwork. Says the Chassam Sefer in Megillah, remember the Gemara we quoted before in Megillah, that Rebbe wants to be Ma'akeh Tisha B'Av. Taitz explains that Rebbe is going in the Shita of Rebbe Yechanan, who holds that the Iker, we commemorate the Iker Sefer, which on the 10th day of Av. Says the Chassam Sefer in Megillah, it's Rebbe Lishitasa. Rebbe Lishitasa in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah doesn't dash in the pasuk Uvoba Pritzim V'Yichalua that it becomes Chulin at all. He has a different drasha for that pasuk. He doesn't dash in talking about Tereis HaMikdash. So Rebbe, who doesn't have that drasha, could go gishmak like Rabbi Yechanan, who says we have to commemorate the Iker destruction of the building, which was on 10th day of Av. Again, the Rabbanan hold Ubo Bo Priestly Chalua is the Maitimis becomes Chulin, the Shechina is leaving, and therefore will commemorate the Iker Tzav the Chorban on the 9th day of Av. Of a Zakh Chassam Tzayfer Rebbe, who wants to go like the Amoyer Rabbi Yechanan, to say we should commemorate the 10th day of Av as Iker Chorban, Rebbe Nisi Tosai, because Rebbe doesn't dash in the Pasuk Ubo Bo Priestly Chalua going on the Maitre Chil of the Beit HaMikdash. That's a Chassam Tzayfer Megillah. Comes along Chacham Ovadja Yosef Tzatzal in Shuvis and says, I don't understand Chassam Tzayfer. That only answers Rebbe Lishi Tzatzai. But Rabbi Yochanan Lishi Tzatzai does darshan the Pasuk of Baal Bafisa Vichalua. The Gemara in the Dorim brings Rabbi Yochanan and darshaning that Pasuk to explain why the Kalim of the Beit HaMikdash lost their Kedusha because the Goyim profaned them. And that's the Baal Mem of the Rabbi Yochanan. The Frech Chacham Ovadja on the Chassam Tzayfer, you made a very good Shikol Torah. That Rebbe Lishi Tzatzai goes like Rabbi Yochanan. And if he doesn't go to Rabbanan because he holds there's no Maitre Chil on the Beit HaMikdash, but Rabbi Yechon himself holds that the Kalim were Yaitu L'chulin, as the Gemara in the Dorm tells us, based on the Pasuk of Baal HaPritza V'Chalua. So how are you going to answer for Rabbi Yechon? Rabbi Yechon sees the Maitre Chulin happening right away. So Rabbi Yechon should agree that Iker Tzar, the fact that Shechina left right away. So how can we say that Rabbi Lishi Tosai, but we're going to fuck in Rabbi Yechon's opinion? That's Chacham Avadja's Shiloh. Chamzon Chacham Avadja, and he has, of course, multiple ways to answer this. It goes on and on and on. But the one I'm going to pick out is based on the Ar Sameach. Our Sameach in Hilchos Tainus and Parakeh, he has one long piece there which has a lot of multiple points. We're going to extrapolate 2 points from there. Zok to Ar Sameach, you have to make a chilek in Tikkus Rabbi Yechanan between the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash and the Binyan of the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara, which Rabbi Yechanan darshins, Ubaba Priestly Chalua, if you read the Gemara there carefully, Ayin Shom, was Dafka on the Kalim. Only on the vessel of the Beis HaMikdash, Rabbi Yechanan held who went to Chulin. But Rabbi Yechanan Zok to Ar Sameach never held that the Beit HaMikdash goes to Chulin. What's his raya? Because the Gemara in Zvachim on the Kuf Zayin on the Beit has the Machloikis, again, Rabbi Yechanan and Reish Lakish, and Rabbi Yechanan holds if someone is makriv, a carbon, b'zman hazeh, b'chut, there's no Beit HaMikdash nowadays, are you chayev on shchutei chutz or not? That's an issue d'oraita, but the question is now the Beit HaMikdash is destroyed, is that apply or not? Says Rabbi Yechanan, yes, it applies. But no, it doesn't apply. What's the source of Machloikis? The Gemara says, Rabbi Yechanan holds Kedusha Rishon the Kitchel Shaita the Kitchel of Lavoi. The Kedusha of Rabbi Yechanan always remains in Mokam HaMikdash. It never left. The Shlokah tells it left once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Says to Ar Sameach, Rabbi Yechanan holds that although the Beis HaMikdash was physically destroyed, the Kedusha never left the Mokam because the Kedusha Rishon is Kitchel Shaita the Kitchel of Lavoi. It's lasting there forever. Zok Chacham Avadja, that's shot in Rabbi Yechanan, he holds the Kalim, they went out to Chulin. That Bobo priest of Echalua, they profaned the Kalim. But Rabbi Yechanan holds that the Kedusha never left the Beis HaMikdash, even when it was ignited by the Goyim. Therefore, Rabbi Yechanan holds, until it's burnt, the 10th day of Av, we cannot commemorate the burning of the Beis HaMikdash until the 10th day of Av kicks in. Therefore, Rabbi Yechanan holds, we wait until the Beis HaMikdash is totally destroyed, which is the 10th day of Av. That's Rabbi Yechanan. However, the Ar Sameach explains, and this is going to get a little sticky right now. Ar Sameach explains that the whole machlokes in Tainis is dafka b'churban the bayis rishon, like we emphasized at the beginning. But zokter Ar Sameach by bayis sheni, everyone agrees l'chayyur that Tishvav was the main day. Therefore, bizman hazeh zokter Ar Sameach, we're only going to commemorate the Tishvav of bayis sheni. Zokter Ar Sameach, what's my raya that bayis sheni overrides bayis rishon? He says because there's another gemara which discusses the fast of Tes Tammuz, the ninth day of Tammuz, or Yud Zayin B'Tammuz. The first Beis HaMikdash, the city was breached on Tes Tammuz. The second Beis HaMikdash, the city was breached on Yud Zayin B'Tammuz. Zok to Ar Sameach, the Gemara says, we commemorate Yud Zayin B'Tammuz. Ayin Shom. Zok to Ar Sameach, the reason why we commemorate Yud Zayin B'Tammuz is because we're living post-second Bayis era. So we're commemorating the Iker of the Churban Bayis Sheni. Zok to Ar Sameach, therefore Bizman Neinu, we're only going to commemorate, even though Rabbi Yechanan has a Bishmak Ashtikl, but since now we're living post-second Bayis era, we're only going to commemorate, like the Chachamim, the commemoration of Tisha B'Av of the second Bayis, and therefore Zok to Ar Sameach, we're only going to do second Bayis. That's Ar Sameach. Now, let's rewind a minute. That's only in Tikkus Rabbanan. We asked a question way back when in the beginning, how are we understanding Rabbi Yechanan? Rabbi Yechanan doesn't agree with that. We said when Medayik from the Gemara, and the way the Rebbe wanted to go like that in the Gemara Megillah, that Rebbe held throughout, even after the second bias, we should still be commemorating the destruction of the first Beis the Asiri Ba'av. Why? Ar Sameach has a good time though. We're living post-second Beis HaMikdash destruction. Let's commemorate that. And that's, everyone agrees with Tisha B'Av. See, I want to say as follows. This, what I'm going to say now, a lot of it is based on what I saw from Ram Shur. Ram Shur, he quotes a Zoya. Zoya in Parshas Vayishlach says the following quote. Man de ochel b'Tisha B'Av, whoever eats anything on Tisha B'Av, is ki'ilu ochel gidanosha. It says, if you ate the gidanosha. That's as cryptic as cryptic could be. What does that do anything? What is the connection between Tisha B'Av, eating on Tisha B'Av, and eating the gidanosha? The fire, there are two totally independent things. Eating on Tisha B'Av is a rabbinic restriction. We're commemorating the destruction of Beis HaMikdash. Eating the gidanosha is a daraita. What does eating on Tisha B'Av do with the gidanosha? The Zohar explains that over there in Parshas Vayishlach, that there are various limbs and sinews in the body, as we all know, and Zohar Zohar, each part of the body corresponds to a different day of the year. Zohar Zohar, I don't know how to work this out, but I'm taking this because you got to accept it. Zohar Zohar, the Gid Hanosha is corresponding to the day of Tisha B'Av. The Zohar even says that Tisha B'Av is merumas in the Pasuk, when the Pasuk says, Al Kain, Lo Yochel, B'nei Yisrael, Es, Gid Hanosha, the word Es is seemingly superfluous, just say Lo Yochel, Gid Hanosha, S, Zohar Zohar, is Zohar Tevis, Tisha Av. The other Mepharshim learned, all the Tanaisim are merumas in the Pasuk. Gid is Rosh Tevis, is Gematria 17, merumas to the 70th day of Tammuz. Gimel is merumas to the third day of Tishrei, which is Tainus Tzayim Gedalia. Yud of the word Gid is commemorative of Asar B'Tevis. So the Mepharshim have all types of ways of fitting all Tanaisim in here. But let's focus over here on Tisha B'Av. Zohar Zohar, what was the story of the fight between the Sarishal Esav and Yaakov Avinu? The Sarishal Esav wanted to be Shoyot on all of Yaakov's Devarim. They wanted to be Shoyot on all the days of the year. The Sarishal Esav, that Malach that was fighting with Yaakov, wanted to have complete control on all the calendar days, that the Esav should always be in control. Yaakov was overpowering. He wasn't able to get. What was the Sarishal Esav able to hit, to injure? That is the Gid Hanosha. The Gid Hanosha, as Zohar says, is representative of Tisha B'Av. Dr. Zohar, that's why Tisha B'Av became the sugal for the day of Esav's victory. The Meraglim, so to speak, was a certain bechina of the destruction of Esav, the two Batei Mikdash, Beta being destroyed, Yerushalayim being plowed over. Dr. Zohar, that's all rooted in the fact that Yaakov Gid Hanosha was injured. Adkan Divrei HaZohar. I made a copy. I can't go through the whole chesed right now, but there's a Chassam Sofer this past week's parsha. Chassam Sofer learns over here and other places that the Zohar doesn't say explicitly that the fight with Yaakov with the Malach was on Tisha B'Av, but just as Merum is getting us to Tisha B'Av. But the Chassam Sofer learns here and other places, and he has a chesed that the Mechama Taka happened, the fight of Yaakov with the Sarish Leitzav also happened on Tisha B'Av, which makes the whole thing much more geshmak. You can understand it, the connection much better. So just take that for granted. Now you can look it up. Ayin Shom. The Chassam Sofer in another place is the Gemara in Chulin. The Gemara in Chulin has a machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Tana Kama, not Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda and Tana Kama, when we say Gid Hanosha is usher, is the Gid Hanosha of both legs of the animal usher? Both, I mean the right end and left hind leg, they both have the Gid Hanosha. Are those both forbidden, or only the right leg? That's the Chassam Sofer. What's as far as the machlokes? Tana Kama holds that you have both are usher, and Yehuda holds only one is usher. So the Chassam Sofer, because since, like we said, the Gid Hanosha is representing the Tisha B'Av, that mindset, the two Gid Hanoshas of the Chassam Sofer represent, each one represents a different korban. Take that Chassam Sofer for granted. And he says, Tana Kama holds that the Ikar we have to mourn is both korbanos, therefore both Gid Hanosha are us and the animal, the right and left side. Rabbi Yehuda holds only the right one is us, the Chassam Sofer. Rabbi Yehuda holds the Ikar korban that we're commemorating, that we're mourning on is the first face of Mikdash. Now the question begs, what's pshat? Why is the Chassam Sofer, according to Chassam Sofer's explanation, come on, again, Pasuk Gemara has nothing to do with Korban Abayit. The Chassam Sofer is stooping in Gid Hanosha together with Korban to make that pshat in the Machlokes of Yehuda and Tana Kama. But what's pshat in Rabbi Yehuda? Why does Rabbi Yehuda hold that Ikar is the first Korban? So the Chassam Sofer has his own Mahalach, but Ravam Shur Shlik, he wants to tell too, Yair Sivash, to explain. Yair Sivash is Rabbi Yonatan Eibshitz, who has long drushes, Geshmaka, Divya Agarata. He wants to explain the side of the Churban as follows. Zachar Ben Yitzchak Naibshis, that the real Golos that we're in now, that we're still here, almost 2,000 years, is really a Golos, is really where we're mourning over the Churban by Yisrisha. However, what happened after the first Churban? He says, look into the Sukkim, look into the Chazal carefully, you'll notice, after Klai Yisrael was kicked out of Eretz Yisrael the first time, Klai Yisrael at that time were not steadfast. They weren't, unfortunately, the Gedarim were not yet fortified by Sanhedrin. Hanukkah Knesset Gedolah didn't come to fruition yet to make a lot of takanot, and very quickly there was a sharp decline in many shmiris and mitzvahs. Shabbos was rampantly, there was chilul Shabbos. Intermarriage was already on the rise in those short years after the first korban. We see the sukkah in Nehemiah that when Klai Yisrael came back and began the second bayis, a lot of people didn't even know how to build the sukkah properly. The shmiris and mitzvahs was on an all-time low. Zokti Yaris Tavash, Hashem B'roiv Rachamov, realized that if we're going to continue this gullus of the first korban, within a short time, Klai Yisrael is going to lose the ganze Torah. We're going to lose all shmiris and mitzvahs. Zokti Yaris Tavash, Hashem B'roiv Rachamov, brings us back to Eretz Yisrael for the second Beis HaMikdash. As we all know, the second Beis HaMikdash was not as glorious as the first one. But one thing that we did very strongly accomplish with the second Beis HaMikdash was the reestablishment of the Sanhedrin, Anshei Knesset Gedolah, making various takanas and gedorim that gave us the ability to survive in Golos. All the takanas that we have, a lot of the takanas that come on, are only from the Zman of the Bayis Sheni. Because Chazal realized at that time, with their Ruach HaKodesh, that we must make Tachanot, we must make Gedarim, in order for Klai Yisrael to exist amongst Umas. Oh, we know Klai Yisrael is going to Golskan, we know it's going to be a long and bitter situation, but we have to make sure we're going to establish this proper Gedarim, that Klai Yisrael will be strong enough to withhold the Goyim. Zok the Ayat Tevah, so really what are we mourning? The second Beis HaMikdash, although it was the Beis HaMikdash, although it was glorious, although it was amazing, really all that was a temporary band-aid in order to give us the ability to be able to extend and last in Golos for as long as we are. Zok the Benetan Ibshis, according to his words, he says, Baruch Shemai, Baruch Hashem, Asher Enenu Re'inu, our eyes see, Ki Onu Bavo Yiseinu Harab, now unfortunately in our sins, Hayoyim Begoyva, we are still in this exile, Yoyse Me'elef Etof Reishana, the Beis HaMikdash was written over 300 years ago, we are still here over 1,500 years later. However, Loishachachnu Mitzvah Hashem, Baruch Hashem, we have not forgotten the mitzvah, the Dukei Seifrim, the Chumre, the Ga'inim, we are keeping the Torah steadfast. V'akol Mechazdei Hashem V'toyv Aleinu, it's also a tremendous chesed that Hashem has done for us, and that was only because we had that second Beis HaMikdash for a temporary situation, so it's because it lasted 400 plus years, because of the Aris Tavash, it was only to set us up that we should be able to survive the goals, because Hashem realized, so to speak, that we weren't going to survive if we would have left after the korban of the Bayis Rishon the way we were. Zok the Ravam Shor, that's Shana Rabbi Yehuda in the Gemara in Chulin, why only we only have to keep one Gia Noshe, only the right leg, because the Ikar of the destruction is the korban Bayis Rishon. The Shechina totally left us then, and that was really supposed to be the long goal. The second bias of the Ayaris Tavash was only to give us the ability to survive, so it's kind of a temporary band-aid, but that's not the real korban, because we knew it was coming. It was inevitable that we're going to have the korban again, because all the takanas of the second bias was just to make us be able to survive the second bias. So perhaps we can say Rabbi Yechanan, in a similar vein, understood the korban, he deherred, like we're saying in Shatan Rabbi Yehuda, why the Gira Noshe, only the right side was us. So perhaps we can say Rabbi Yechanan also, he viewed the Ikra of the korban bias region as the main korban, and therefore Rabbi Yechanan and Gemara and Kindness is telling us that we only should commemorate the 10th day of Av, because that's the Ikra korban, even though it's the bias region, and we're living post bias Sheni, but the Ikra korban, the Ikra the Tsar, is from the first bias.